Hello, welcome back to the Earth Like Heaven podcast. This is Ben Trujillo, and joining with me is Darby O'Connell, and we are here to help you close the gap between heaven and earth in your life by learning to live like Jesus. This season, we have been excited to partner with members of the Colson Fellows, a ministry that we are affiliated with here at Pepsi. And for this season, during the fall, we've been exploring the topics of the image of God, the mission of God, and the church of God. And we have had with us over these last couple episodes, and for this episode, our final one of this season, Kim Servia, who is herself a Colson Fellow, and she has been guiding us through the topic of the Ecclesia Dei, the Church of God. So on the heels of our last episode, Kim, you very graciously shared your story with us, your experience, which I think is a great example of what the church in action is. Its mission to come around and care for one another, its mission to be a witness, its mission to restore the health of a physical body, to restore family relationships, to weep with one another, to celebrate and to rejoice, to bear scars and marks with one another. So that's a really great example that you gave us, and I think is a reminder that we all, maybe we haven't been on the deathbed, as it were, but we all, to some extent, have that story as well. And maybe it's worth pausing and reflecting on that in our next, you know, silence and solitude that we have, to think through, like, what's the way that we've experienced the Church of God in action in our lives? What's a way that we've participated as a part of the Church of God in action in somebody else's life? For this episode, as we wrap up this topic of the Church of God, I'd like to maybe zoom out just a little bit to look at the culture, identifying what's at play right now, and what is the church to do? What's its response? I think if we look back to the first chapter of this paradigm that we've been using of creation, that transition between creation and fall leads us to understand that our world is contested space. It isn't neutral ground. There are, everything is pulling us one direction or another. Every story is selling us a bill of goods. There is no neutrality. Everything has consequence. I can't remember who had that quote of, you are but the accumulation of your small habits throughout your life. Like that's your character is your destiny. All the things that you choose to engage in and all the activities that you choose to do are thrusting you to some type of person. You are living out a story. So I'd love to get your take on, as we sit here in 2025, the tail end of this year, what are some maybe strong cultural currents that are occurring? How do we identify those? And then how do we respond? And maybe speak to you know, the subtlety of these currents, because this contested space often isn't a full frontal attack, an obvious barrage of violence in your face, easy to identify. Oftentimes it's very subtle. It's under the table. It's sneaky and suspicious, and it lulls you into a belief or a story that you didn't know you were signing up for, but now further on down the road, you realize, hopefully by God's grace, that you've been buying into that story all along and you just didn't realize it. So, long way to say, what's at play? How do we identify it? What's the church's response?
Yeah, well said. I mean, I think the biggest thing we can do is have a strong footing on the truth, know the truth, and know how to talk about it, know how to live in the moment with that current that's trying to pull us. And as you said, we're either growing closer to God or further away from him. We're growing towards something good or not towards something good, which is not in the right direction. We want to have a sure footing on the truth of reality of the world and then live according to that, live within those.
Knowing what I know about you and knowing what I know about the Colson Fellows, would you say that truth is the pinnacle of attack? It is the thing that's contested.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
Right.
And
but what's interesting is you hear the word truth in other areas as well. There's another ministry here that's truth is in the title as well.
Yes.
And I think we're all anxious and anxious in a good way, to know the truth. And I think in order to know the truth, we do have to study some. We do have to put ourselves out there a little bit and put some effort into it. Not all of us are going to go to seminary or anything, of course, but we do need to know the truth so that we can defend it.
What would you say if we remove got ourselves just outside of the walls of the church? Because I hear that word truth, and I think just from my upbringing of like, oh, this is like, I got to know the Bible and I got to be able to recite scripture. And I don't mean that came off very...
I know what you're getting at, though. You're trying to say somewhat outside of the walls of the church, we're going to hear my truth and your truth.
Right.
I get to have my truth and you can have your truth.
Right. So yes, there is, I don't mean to diminish the truth of scripture.
Sure.
As you were saying, I didn't go to seminary. I went to, and I live and breathe theology. It's what I spend my free time reading, and I love studying. So there's value in that.
Yes.
But getting my head out of books of understanding the scripture, to identify the battle of truth at play in our everyday lives, of the places that we work, of where our kids go to school, the conversations we have with family, the music we listen to, the movies we watch, the content we consume. Mm-hmm. Truth, I love the idea that all truth is God's truth, mm-hmm. which means there is like an ultimate, there is something true, mm-hmm. and there is something that's not.
There is a right and a wrong.
There is a right and a wrong, mm-hmm. and there's something that's not true. So knowing that there is an ultimate truth, what is the church's role? What is our responsibility as members of the body of Christ, knowing that truth is contested? What are we to do?
Well, we have to start by recognizing where we're at right now and remembering that we are still under the cultural mandate. We're still supposed to be being fruitful and multiplying and go out there and make something beautiful out there in the world and remember whose world it is. I mean, that's the goal probably, right? Go out in the world and make something beautiful and remember whose world it is. Where are we now? We have to look at that and think about what's happening around us. There were 10 years ago, 5 years ago, beyond that, we used to all know where we were going, but we had different ways maybe to get there. Different people would have different ideas on how to solve a problem, like at the government level or whatever. And now it seems like we don't even know, we don't have the same end goal in mind. Not only do we maybe have a different route to get there, but we're not even headed in the same place. Yeah. So that's an unsettling situation, so it can be awfully confusing and chaotic, and I think that's where we have to go back and think, well, what is the truth about reality, and where can I learn more about that? And that's in the Bible.
So, Kim, would you say that the unsettled becomes settled when we ground ourselves in the reality that God gives us?
Well said, yes. That sounds, that is true. And that is truth, right?
That's deep.
And where do we find that truth? God gives it to us in his story of the Bible. He gives us the story of the world and the contours of reality. And
I think those are two, I'd like to actually unpack those.
Okay.
So scripture and reality. I'm immediately thinking of Romans, right? Mm-hmm. Paul talks about God's revelation in the created order. That is like self-disclosure. That is, I'm showing you how the world works. I pick up a water bottle in front of me and I drop it. That is reality. That is truth. It is going to do those things. You jump off a roof, you're going to fall. There's truth to be found in experiential living, and there's truth to be found in scripture. And it's interesting that we are now in this place of denying the reality of things that we've assumed. You know, you just said a moment ago of like, we used to all agree, you know, maybe not in the way to get to the end, but we all kind of agreed on the end, at least a majority of us. And these sort of minority groups that had these, what's the gentle term I want to use? Unorthodox way of thinking have now become the majority. And we're arguing over assumed truth, things that we just believed about reality because reality revealed itself to be that. And so we now are seeing culturally I think we've been seeing this for a long time, a rejection not only of the authority of Scripture, but the authority of reality.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah.
The authority of how the world is set up and functioning, we're now rejecting that.
There are some givens, and given like gravity is a given. A speed limit isn't a given.
Yes.
Gravity is. Speed limits can change based on the cultural needs of the neighborhood where the road is. But gravity's gravity no matter what's happening in culture.
Right.
Yeah, so that is a truth. There are some givens. And let's talk about some of those givens, like hope. Why do we have hope?
Okay.
And what can the church do as we try to ground ourselves?
Yeah, so this idea of hope, right? Let me take it back to, we've been using the story and we're kind of mixing. The story has served two metaphors. We've talked about the four-part story mm-hmm. that we've unpacked, but also I've mentioned that everybody's living into a story. Mm-hmm. And all stories have, you know, I think back to the stories I would read my children before bed. There's this tension, and then there's this resolution, and there's this, dare I say, restoration at the end of a conflict in a story. When people are living into a story, there's a certain degree of hope or lack of hope that they're going to inevitably carry wherever you think this story is going towards, wherever it's unfolding. And so if we think, maybe to pull in your like personal story that we talked about in the last episode of all things are going to be made right. Therefore, even though I don't experience that in its fullness right now, I can actually hold with a very firm grasp this idea of hope. Mm-hmm. I can hope that one day all of this is going to be made right. All of this is going to be healed.
And do we hope for or do we hope in, right? We hope for our football team to win. Mm. But we, as Christians, have hope in Jesus and in that restoration.
Oof. Okay.
And some other Christ truths that we can count on that are givens in this real world. Christ is risen. Mm. Christ is Lord over all, so he's sovereign. He's Lord of all. He is making things new, which we've talked about a lot today already and in the other episodes. And he also, another truth is that we didn't pick where we live and when we were born. He chose us for mm-hmm. this time and for this place. So I would say those are givens that can direct us towards hope or give us the feeling of hope.
So Darby, I'd like
the
to
reality
ask,
of hope.
I'd Sorry. Like to ask you, it's very easy to sit behind a microphone right now with my health and all provisions that I have to talk about hope. Well, the world will be made right one day, but in the face of when everything is crumbling around me, and maybe this is a lived experience that you've had or people that you've interacted with, how do you, as a member of the church, as a part of the body of Christ, when hope seems like the most distant, graspable thing, what have you done? How have you helped people navigate that? Because I'll be quite honest, there have been times in my life where I've literally cried out in the words I've said, almost in anger, is this has to be true.
Sure.
Because if this isn't true, this is too overwhelming. Like this, things have to be able to be repaired. Even if I don't experience it in the immediate or experience this in my lifetime, this has to be made right. Mm. I have to hold on to this true to have this to be true to have any sense of hope. How have you experienced that when it seems like a life raft that's miles away?
Man, my head is spinning, honestly. I think for me personally, when I have felt hopeless, in moments where I have felt hopeless, I have recognized the fact that I don't have control. And I think that has brought me to a place of surrender, because at that point, I don't know what else there is. And so when I have found myself in those moments, I have cried out to God as my rescuer. And I think that that has communicated the hope that he is seated in me with the Spirit more than anything else. And I believe that when I find myself in that state of surrender, that it allows me to be open to him showing me even the small goodness of what's coming out of my story. Even if it's, again, I think when I often talk to my family or to my friends or to just people, I think that sometimes we have to live in a society where we make decisions and choices. But when we're in those really hopeless moments, I believe that God is telling us, just let me help you put one foot in front of the other and trust me with what you do not see.
That's powerful. Mm-hmm. Surrender. But hope seems so far.
I know.
Surrender.
Well, it's so easy to praise God in the highs, right?
Right.
But we are supposed to praise him in the lows. And I do believe that through all of our stories from childhood up until, you know, our last breaths, I believe that he prepares us slowly and surely, whether it's from relationships when you're young, difficulty with those, managing those. As you get older, it can be something even greater than that. But I think that he slowly refines us along the way and challenges us so that we can find ourselves in those spots where we realize that he has prepared us to this point, and we just need to let him take the wheel.
I think there's a deep psychological truth to what you just shared, because as I'm thinking in the moments of my life, by and large, those hopeless moments have been at my own doing.
Mm.
And it's been striving for control or striving to seize something. And I'm realizing that all the things that I've been trying to do are now out of my hands. And ultimately, I'm not the one in control. And that's when I feel the most hopeless. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a deep psychological truth of, like, most of the time, it's been because God's inviting me to actually surrender that control.
I think even you think of, like, the lost and the least resourced. I mean, there have been moments where, and even in my experience this past summer, and then hearing Doug's experiences, actually anybody that I've talked to that's gone on a mission trip or gone overseas, where you have been in an environment where they have so little, and yet they have hope. And you sit there and think, wow, I do believe that spiritual warfare looks different to some degree in their world versus ours. But the common denominator in all of it is that they have hope. They have hope in the relationship that they have with the Lord. They have hope in him. They have hope in what he's doing in their life, and what that looks like for them each and every day.
What a great reminder that one of the greatest things that we can do as the church is be people of hope. Offer the world hope. There's a solution to all of this.
Mm-hmm.
There's something that's coming on the other end. There's hope.
Mm-hmm.
What a great reminder.
Kind of came to what I think that one of the things that you were talking about earlier, or maybe this is offline, but even from the perspective of showing up for someone else and being hope for them, mm-hmm, when they're feeling broken through relationship, I think that sometimes the hope that we carry within us can extend to someone else, and they can grab onto you like a lifeline. And that's a huge piece of being the church.
Yeah, that's good.
So we've talked about truth, grounding ourselves in the reality of truth that God has given, both in his word and his world, being a people of hope. And then, Kim, what else would you say the church's response is?
Kind of going back to truth, but truth as another topic in that we've talked about before. It's the truth of humanity and the world. The four chapters we've talked about, creation, fall, redemption, and restoration, that's true. And that is the only worldview that makes the most sense out of, it lines up with reality of humanity and the earth and what we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only worldview and religion that holds that.
It's a very honest story. I've often told people that as best as I can be objective in my assessment of stories on offer or ideologies on offer or religions on offer, I realize I'm not wholly objective, mm-hmm, but I've yet to encounter something as compelling as the Bible,
mm-hmm,
that is as completely honest about the human condition as,
mm-hmm,
it is,
mm-hmm,
and also the most hopeful solution to the human problem. Part of the reason I'm a Christian is because I haven't come across anything else that offers an honest assessment of where the human heart is.
Yeah.
Calls you to the carpet and then shows you the way.
Right. And then gives you like a very hopeful solution and outcome.
Yeah.
It deals with reality very honestly. And that's part of the reason I'm a Christian.
Absolutely.
I find it incredibly compelling.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
These are things, Kim, that remind me of ways that God has equipped us to live. Are there other ways that you feel like God has equipped us or that we can learn from or lean into in order to continue to, I'll say, be the church?
Be the church.
Mm-hmm. Wow, we need to find our identity. We need to know who we are in God and in his image. We're the only creation that images him. And we think not only are we different in that way, but we think about being human, whereas other creations don't have that depth. They, for us, we wonder, you know, why am I here? What am I supposed to do? Other creations, dogs and rocks and trees don't do that. And so we're different.
My corgi never goes on an existential crisis wondering what the purpose of all of this is. It's like, where's the leash? Let's go on a walk.
Exactly. And, but our identity can be seen and through the lens of relationship. So everything happening in our life is kind of impacted by these relationships of either our relationship with God going upward, our relationship with others around us in our church, in our community, in our neighbors, family, of course, and our relationship downward, you know, with the earth, with
the
creation.
World, yeah.
And what did I miss? Up, out, downward, inward. Our relationship with
ourselves. Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, I mean, are we talking, is our self-talk good? Is it, or is it bad? And what did Doug say this morning? I forget exactly, but just point being is that are we believing, where are we getting that truth from? Are we getting it from the people around us or from our society or from our culture? Or are we getting it from our family? In some cases, that's great. And in some places, it's not so great. Yeah. But we always know we can go back to the Bible and get the truth there, God's truth.
I'm thinking back to when Darby and I ran Emotionally Healthy Spirituality in the spring.
Which Kim was a part of.
Which Kim was a part of. That's right. That's right. One of the focuses of that was the truth of your identity. And I remember Scazzaro drawing attention to the fact that Jesus' baptism, before he had accomplished anything, he was told by his Father, "This is my beloved in whom I am well pleased." Mm-hmm. Long before the first miracle was performed, before he had done anything, that was the source of his identity. And then you look at where Jesus was tempted. He was tempted in, you know, you get it through success, you get it through power, you get it through miracles, you get it through being able to do this and that. And Jesus was so, as our example, was so locked in, was so founded in that identity, that everything else that was placed before his eyes, everything else that was sold to him, everything else that was on offer was easy to reject because that was what he was grounded in.
Right.
And I think that's important. I think, I don't think people realize that their identity is at stake or that their identity is contested. I mean, I don't often consider that very much.
Because we see it as a given, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people out there don't. If you're not grounded, and like we said a while back, I mean, if we don't have a good foothold on what's true and in the word of reality, then we can easily be swayed.
Yeah. And I'm thinking through even the work that I've done in my counseling. It constantly, all these problems and issues I'm working through go back to this fundamental truth about who I am. Mm. I mean, I can't even, all these conversations of, oh, you know, this was this parenting snafu or this argument I had with so-and-so or this thing that's, every single conversation I have with my counselor always funnels back to this, like we eventually will peel back the layers, but it's all being sourced out of this like identity issue.
Mm-hmm.
I feel threatened and I'm not valuable and I'm not lovable. And that's why all these malformed adaptive behaviors are happening. And man, at the source of all of that is actually like,
and even knowing that, it's hard, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's like the malformed identity. You're actually not believing something true about yourself, which is all of these are just the conditions of that belief.
Yeah.
These are just symptomatic.
Yeah.
It actually is rooted in the fact that you have a wrong view of your identity.
Mm-hmm. I think of a lot of like junior and senior high schoolers that I talk to, and how they are asking those questions like, who am I? Who has God created me to be? And one of the things that we talk about is, what does the Bible tell you? And then what does God tell you? Like, how are you spending time in prayer asking him, who have you created me to be? And then actually waiting to hear from him on what that looks like. And I think that's a piece that we often leave out, is the idea that God made us. He is who knows that answer. And we need to be continually asking him daily. I mean, even as a 45-year-old female, you know, I should be still asking him, who have you created me to be today? Mm-hmm. What can I do differently? How can you mold and shape me to be more like you today? And I think that that prayer piece is something that we forego in that time with the Lord.
And you, it's important that you mentioned the repetition of that, because you know what the average user is 3.5 hours on their device, thousands of times that their finger actually touches the screen. Again, as we said in a previous episode, there's nothing neutral about our world. It's all competing. Mm-hmm. And so this idea that we have to repeatedly ground ourselves in, I am a loved and delighted in daughter, son of the Almighty.
I think of the expectancy that you go into prayer with, though, even, you know, that is a wonderful feeling. But even the idea that you get to go to God and see what he has for you, I think it's just a neat opportunity that I would love to see, even myself included, more do.
Yeah. To do that, so that's a good reminder for me to do that over and over and over, because I that identity is constantly contested, and what an important reminder to every day. You need to ground yourself in that reality. Ground yourself in that identity.
And literally thank the Lord that he continues to mold us, you know?
Absolutely.
What else, Kim?
So out of this identity, we have
A calling. Okay. We were created for something.
Yes. Yeah.
And to help us understand how to find our calling, I mean, that takes a little of time and reflection and prayer.
Because there's a uniqueness to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and yes, we are all called to be the church. We are all called towards the restoration of history and the establishment of God's kingdom. But there's also, as we talked about, you know, the body being hands, feet, eyes, ears, we all uniquely contribute to that.
And I think it can change over time too,
yeah,
during different seasons of life, different chapters.
Sure. Yeah, great point.
Yeah, for sure. The Colson Fellows Program talks about 4 questions that we can ask to help guide us. And one of those is, what's good that we can celebrate and protect? So you know, these questions would help us identify our calling, like which of these questions makes us think of something and makes our heart hurt for what Jesus' heart hurts for. And if we feel a tug when we hear one of these questions and we think of a particular answer to it, maybe that's something to pay attention to and dig into a little bit more. But what's good that we can celebrate or protect or preserve? And that would be coming out of the creation story, right? Because what God created was good and very good. And then another question is, what's missing that I can create or contribute or innovate?
That's great.
And also, God is a creator and we are creative. What's evil that I need to resist or oppose? And that comes from the fall story. And then last, what's broken that I can help renew or restore or reconcile? And that's where we're using our gifts. God's inviting us to be part of that restoration process. He's doing it, but we're using our gifts and choosing to have a God-filled life by using those gifts in service to him and in service to our neighbors and families, and helping to move the kingdom forward.
Yeah. It's an amazing grace that God has chosen to use us to bring the kingdom forward. And our participation in that is critically important, no matter what role we're playing. It's a great reminder. Well, Kim, this has been, these last three episodes have been
so good.
Yeah. Thank you for your preparation, your expertise, walking us through all this content. To wrap up our conversation in this season, I'd love for you to direct our listeners to resources, things that if they're listening right now to go, well, I'd love to learn more about the church, its function, my role in it, cultural analysis. How do I identify what's going on? How do I ground myself in truth? What are some practical tools that we could leave our listeners with before we sign off?
Great. Well, clearly I've learned so much at the Colson Center, and I'm so thankful for the instructors I had there and still have and still interact with. And I still have so much growth ahead of me, I know. I would recommend that if you want to learn more, come and ask me. Otherwise, go to Colson Center website and learn some things there. There's a site for Colson educators. And I think, to me, I'm curious. I haven't dug into that at all, but I'm curious about that because I think it would be great for parenting information. Definitely the Colson Center. And then they have a video series of short videos called What Would You Say? And they're about 10 or 12 minutes long each and on all sorts of different topics. And you can kind of sit there and go down a rabbit hole of all sorts of topics.
That's great.
And so that's a useful site that's shorter than the Colson Fellows Program. And then there's this book I just read, The Local Church by Edward Clink. And that was super helpful. One thing I will put in a plug for my wonderful church here that I pulled out of that book, it said that the congregant's responsibilities are attend your church, join your church, submit to your church, serve your church, and love your church.
Yeah.
So I do want to allow our listeners to peek behind the curtain for just a moment, because you had, prior to us recording this episode, you brought that up and the comment was made of like, oh, that's a bit heavy handed. And I want to say that if anybody had that reaction while you were reading those, I think it's because it's so anti-cultural.
Yeah.
We're so self-involved and
non-committal
and individualistic that you're like, oh, I have to commit and I have to give up. It's like,
Yeah. You've got to go out of your comfort zone a little bit. And I am not a staff member, so I can say that.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, we're all called. We're all made in the image. We're all have an invitation to participate in all of this. And so individually as well as collectively.
That's right. Great reminder.
Say it enough.
Yeah. And maybe to plug something you and I have on our horizon,
yes,
is at the turn of the new year, we're going to be running a very short class, adult education class here at Pepsi, based off of Truth Rising. So they released a documentary about a month ago that really deals with the cultural moment, what's happening ideologically, cultural currents that are at play, what's happening in Western civilization. And so they created this about hour and a half documentary that we'll watch. And then there's a 4-part subsequent lesson based upon that documentary that we will offer here at the church, in February. Some more information will be coming out about that as we get closer to the new year. So if they're interested, this is kind of in the same vein of, what the church can do and how we can be equipped to effectively bring about faithfully, the kingdom of God.
Where can people in the greater Parker area learn more about that class?
As we sit at this recording right now, it is not on the website, but it will be. So if you listen to this probably later November, early December, visit the website. We'll have all the information locked in, dates, times. So if you go to pepsi.org, go to our events, you'll see one of the banners up there that will have this. But as we sit here at the time of this recording, it's not currently available. That information isn't,
okay.
But it will be by late November, early December.
Great.
Well, Kim, again, thank you so much for your time, your expertise, sharing your heart, sharing your story. This was incredibly valuable. So, Darby, thank you as well. Yeah. Jake and Billy, you guys are faithfully working behind the scenes. Thank you so much for making this podcast happen. And for you listening, keep listening as we dive deeper, recording these episodes in this podcast about what it means to follow Jesus. As always, we would love your comments, your reviews on the platform that you choose to listen to your podcasts, and make sure to subscribe and stay tuned as we release more episodes, and we'll see you next time.